Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events on this very fine day of Monday, October 28th, 2013. The first segment today, we're going to talk about the White House denies the NSA spying on its allies. We're going to also be talking a little bit more about Obamacare in the second segment. We're going to talk about banking, the changes that you're going to see with your deposits. Do bank deposits belong to you? And, of course, there's been all kinds of information being released, and I got a new report today from someone sent me the Wells Fargo statement. So we'll talk about those in the program today. Make sure you stay tuned. Let's get to gold and silver. Gold today struggled most of the day, was higher for most of the day. Still looking about $1,354, basically unchanged on the day. Same way with silver, it's down 10 cents, $22.60. Platinum, though, was up over 1%, up $17 at $1,476. And palladium is up $2 at $749. The USDX today still trading, just up slightly, 0.02 at 79.23. Crude oil today was stronger, 98.62. Paper markets, it's pretty much a quiet day in all the markets today. You had the paper markets. The S&P edged higher, edged into a new record territory, up a whole, 0.1%, puts it in new territory. And, of course, that's all they're talking about. The S&P was up 2.35 points at 1762. The Dow was down 1 at 15,568, and the NASDAQ was down 3 points at 3,940. That'll be a big day when the NASDAQ hits that 5, but, you know, if it does, it'll be a good day when it hits 4, but it hasn't had 5,000 in quite a long time, but it'll certainly give Wall Street a lot to talk about. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Hi, Al.
Got another day where the dollar is down close to 79 on the U.S. dollar index. That's about a week it's been below the 80 mark. That strikes me as interesting. And again, doesn't prove anything per se, but it is interesting. The line in the sand at 80 has apparently shifted to the line in the sand at 79.
Perhaps.
Maybe so.
Perhaps.
Yep.
We'll have to see what happens. But really, these are just all little signs to tell us.
Signs of the times.
Signs of the times.
Yes.
Signs
of the interesting times. We're living in interesting times.
Interesting times.
It's always interesting. We don't necessarily understand what they're doing, but it's interesting that they're doing something. We know they're up to something.
And we know it's up to no good.
Exactly.
And we know it's up to no good.
True.
So it's just, there was, I don't know if I have it here right on my desk. It was... most Americans are accumulating debt faster than they're saving for retirement. This is published by Michael A. Fletcher out of the Washington Post. And he says, even though the majority of Americans with 401k-type saving accounts, they are accumulating debt faster than what they are setting aside money for retirement. 3 in 5 workers were defined contribution accounts are debt savers, according to the report released last week on Thursday, meaning they're increasing mortgages, credit card balances, and installment loans are outpacing the amount of money they are able to save for retirement.
Tells us what? Does it tell us that they're becoming irresponsible and they're not saving as much as they should? Or does it tell us that they are so squeezed for dollars that instead of saving things, the only way they can get what they think they need is to go deeper into debt?
I think it's.
Do you see what I'm?
Yeah,
what I'm saying?
I think it's probably a little bit of both. You keep doing that.
I try to get an either or. You say I think it's a little bit of both. You do that to me every time, and you're probably right.
I know I'm right.
It frustrates me. You understand?
Say it again, Al.
I'm looking for an either or.
No, say it again.
Need to apologize. You don't need to apologize, Melody.
It's too late.
It's too late. You've spoiled it for me by saying, yeah, it's probably both of those.
No, I just want to hear you say you're right.
No, I'm saying it's too late to apologize.
Hey, workers with retirement savings account put aside more than 11% of their pay for retirement. 5% in their own accounts and 6.2% in Social Security. You would think that by saving 10%, it should be enough to retire on, but still, of course, we all know the retirement readiness for most Americans has been slipping. It's been slipping away. There's this firm that says, I wanted to see the numbers. It's actually... if I could find it, actually worse than young people. I mean, usually you'll see young people that is, you know, that they're going to go deeper into debt, you know, because they have the life, you know, their lifespan to pay it off. But
they have a natural optimism.
Yeah, but the older folks, people closer to retiring, are in this.
they understand that all of that optimism, that youthful optimism, is just an illusion. And as you get more mature, you say, "My God, I'm going to save every dollar I can find."
So, you know, folks need to, you know, it's just another sign of the times, and it's another sign that retirement accounts. And what was also interesting is that they're looking to find another way to pay retirees. And again, you know, we've often
corn cobs
to create a new form of retirement help for future retirees. So,
who is looking for a new way to pay retirees? Who's doing that?
Who's doing what?
Who is looking for a new way to pay retirees?
Looking for the government.
The government is.
Mm-hmm.
What other ways can there be? How about we just put the money in a trough on Washington, D.C., and we all have to walk to Washington every month, once a month, in order to get our share out of the trough? Maybe that would be a new way. I mean, what else can they do besides either send you a check in the mail or give you a debit card or hand you the cash? What else can they do? a new way to pay retirees.
Well, that's what they want. They want to take the funds that are there and issue you. There's already been other organizations who have said that, retired people can't take care of their money. Let us help you.
Yeah,
we're here to help you. So what we'll do is we'll take your money, put it into some sort of an annuity. You'll never, ever have to worry about losing it, and we'll pay you $1,500 a month, and you'll never, ever have to worry about it not being there for you.
Of course, if you die before you've exhausted your principal, they get to keep it.
They get to keep it.
Yeah, and I guarantee they've done the calculations and the math and the rest, and they know how many people out of their customers will die early, and they know how much money they're going to make off the deal. They're promising to give you something. On average, they will take something away, and they'll deprive your children, your grandchildren, your heirs, whoever.
But I'll tell you what.
An opportunity to collect your on your estate after you pass.
But let me tell you something. I'll guarantee you that if you had the stock market drop today down to 3,000, people would be lining up to sign for it. Because I think people are kind of getting to the point where, to some degree, they feel like their investments will always come back. We've seen it drop from the Dow, the markets to, I'll use the Dow as an example, to 6,000. It's come back. People are in this mindset, it'll always be there, it'll always be there. Well, it won't. So if it drops again, there'll be that group that thinks it'll come back, but it'll be that other group, probably the older group, the retirees, who will say, no, I'm done with it. You know, give me my little monthly payment. And
well, the solution, of course, from my perspective, I don't trust any of them. All right. Try to hang on to the wealth, keep it in my own pocket, essentially, or close by. And I'm not going to rely on the banks. I'm not going to rely on the government. I'm not going to rely on any of the conventional debtors or creditors that are out there right now, because the debt is so great it can never be repaid. Everybody's in jeopardy on this, except for people who save their wealth in a tangible form. And it's only a question of time before we see the trouble, before it really manifests in a way where people say, oh my gosh, you know, this is not a conspiracy theory. This is a real deal. That's my take on it. So what else, Melanie?
Well, you know, there's been a lot of discussions in this past week about restrictions on what you can pull out, what you can bank wire, one of our clients sent us something she received from Wells Fargo. It was about savings transfer limits. And what they're doing is they wanted to make sure that the statement reads, an understanding an existing federal rule limiting certain types of transfers from your savings account to a total of 6 per monthly statement period. And to help them stay within the limit, please keep in mind the following. And then there's different things. The limit of 6 transfers per monthly statement period from your savings account includes transfers through the following: online, mobile, and text banking, phone transfers, overdraft protection, transfers to a checking account for overdraft coverage also counts, third-party payments. There are no limits on the number of transfers or withdrawals made in persons at ATMs or Wells Fargo banking locations or on any type of deposit. If the 6 transfers per month statement period are exceeded, an excess activity fee, currently $15, will be assessed for transactions that exceed the limit. If the limit is exceeded on more than occasional basis, the savings account must be converted to a checking account, which doesn't have any transaction limits or close. And that's interesting, because they're going to force you to convert your savings account to a checking account.
If you take enough monthly
withdrawals out of it. Yeah, if you transfer.
Yeah. And if it's a sufficiently active.
If the federal, and this is all beginning December 11th, 2013, if the federal transfer limit of 6 is reached or exceeded, additional transfer from savings account through online banking or the telephone may be declined for the remainder of the monthly statement period. And, of course, they are hoping that this step to help their customers stay within the federal limit.
Well, that's important. We all want to stay within the federal limits, whatever those limits may be, because, you know, those people in Washington, they're so smart. They have managed to hold this economy drive it to a point in my lifetime where we've gone from the richest nation in the world to the most indebted. Right? We are arguably, a lot of people, Obama's, oh, this is the richest country in the world. Bull. The heck it is. We are the most indebted nation on the face of the earth. And although we still have credit cards and debit cards and checking accounts that appear to work, the truth of the matter is that as a nation, we are like the man who used his MasterCard to pay off his Visa, to pay off his American Express. He may appear to be wealthy in the eyes of his girlfriend, but the day is going to come when they're going to close down all his credit cards and we're going to find out this guy doesn't have any money. And effectively, that's a rough description of what's happening in this country. We are surviving and maintaining the current level of prosperity based on illusion rather than tangible reality. If that illusion fails, if it bursts, if it vaporizes, there's going to be some very surprised and very unhappy people, campers. That'll be the people living under a bridge. We won't call them homeless anymore. We'll just call them unhappy campers. What else, Melody?
The bridge people.
Uh-huh.
But, well, we do know that the banks, we talked about this in the beginning of the month, and I think this is one of the reasons why you're seeing all these changes in the banking system. And of course, there's other reasons. You have a lot of the Frank Dodd bill goes into effect at the end of this year and so forth. But the U.S. banks, I mean, they're planning for the day when the economy recovers, rates rise, and depositors yank money from safe but low-paying accounts. Now, we know the economy isn't going to recover, but we know rates are going to rise. And those withdrawals could be fast and painful for these banks because it can all be done with just a click of a mouse.
That's the problem.
That's the problem. It's not going to be, you're not going to have a run on the banks as we, you know, are so, you know, seeing lines around the bank, people standing in line trying to withdraw their money. They're going to be on their phone. They're going to be on their mobile phone, text banking, online banking, at just a punch of a button. A lot of money can be moved very quickly.
Yep. And a lot of currency can be moved very quickly.
Currency.
But the problem they have, of course, is they don't really have any money.
Nope.
And that's part of their problem, although it's a very difficult thing to explain to people. People, you know, again, they look at paper dollars. We have been trained throughout our lifetime to regard paper money, paper currency, as if it were money. And we think in terms of it. We think in terms of how much is a car worth, and they'll say it's $20,000, and we can count out enough $100 bills to pay for it. We understand, we relate to the price of the car, to the paper currency, and it's going to take something shocking to restore our understanding that we have to start thinking in terms of gold and silver coin. What's the price of a car in terms of gold? What's the price of the car in terms of silver? And when you do that, you begin to think in terms of money rather than currency. And initially it'll be confusing and people will wonder, why do I bother doing that? It seems unnecessary. But it will help you one of these days when that currency doesn't function, and what will.
And who owns your money once you make that deposit?
Oh,
the money that you're sitting there in that savings
bank account.
Yeah.
Bank account, checking account, savings account, whatever. Once you deposit it into the bank, you are an unsecured creditor, which means the bank will probably give it back to you if you ask for it, but they don't have to. And if they have any secured creditors, they have to pay the secured creditors first. And the secured creditors today include people who have derivatives. Everyone has heard about these crazy derivatives. It's almost like a kind of monopoly money. It's a kind of fantasy that has been foisted off on the world. There are allegedly something like $1.4 quadrillion worth of derivatives floating around the planet right now. That's something like 16 times the size of the gross domestic product for the world. It is an impossible number. It's an irrational number. It's a fantastic and fictional number. And yet, the people who hold these derivatives with banks are typically secured creditors, and in the event of trouble, they get paid and you folks will not. I'm Alfred Adisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adisk here on Financial Survival with co-host Melody Cederstrom. Program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. For all your gold and silver coin needs, Melody doesn't have a special for you today, but what have you got, Melody?
Well, everything.
Reminder.
Everything is a special.
Okay.
But I do want to remind the folks that this is the last week. All orders, your name will be placed in a basket for a drawing for a Mint State 62 $10 Indian gold piece, along with a tube of 21-ounce silver eagles. We will have that drawing on Friday.
And the first party will win. The winner will get the $10
That's
Indian.
Correct. That's
and
correct.
Second place will get the tube of silver eagles.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm.
So we will have that first thing Friday on the program, so make sure you tune in and get your orders in so we can get your name in the drawing. And we'd like to encourage you to visit our website, dgscoins.com, sign up for the weekly newsletter. And, of course, these programs are archived on a daily basis and longer. So make sure you get to the website.
Okay, what's next, Melody?
Well, this just came out on my report that the United States could lose access to an important law enforcement tool used to track terrorist money flows, German officials says Monday, or said Monday, as Europe weighs a response to the allegations that the Americans spied on their closest European allies. So Europe mulls sanctions against the U.S. over the spying. Spain became the latest U.S. ally to demand answers after a Spanish newspaper reported that the NSA monitored more than 60 million phone calls in that country during 1 month alone. The report Monday's in the Daily E Mundo came on the heels of allegations of massive NSA spying in France and Germany, including Merkel's own cell phone. With European leaders dissatisfied with the U.S. response so far, officials have been casting about for a way to pressure Washington to provide details of past surveillance.
You know, one of the things about it is, if a government is willing to engage in widespread spying on its own people, why would any ally of that government suppose that the government won't spy on them? You see my point? If the government's willing to spy on us, why wouldn't it spy on Germany? It should be one of the first signs to say, oh, the government, the United States government, is spying on its own people. Well, then you better cover your own tracks, because if they'll spy on us, they'll spy on anybody. It just follows. There's a certain logic to this, and we see foreign governments complaining and telling us they're shocked, I tell you. It's like you were saying earlier during the break. Everybody spies on everybody, at least within the governments right now. The only people who don't fully understand what's going on are the people the government is supposed to serve, and that's us. We're kept in the dark, but the rest of them, they know.
The only difference is now it's done by, you know, technology. I mean, before it used to be done by people. So spying isn't anything new.
I think
what's new is the spying on the citizens.
Well,
at least
I don't
here.
Know if it's new or if it's just a new revelation. I'm not absolutely convinced that the government hasn't been spying on us for who knows, a generation or two. They may have been doing it. There are reports that they have been closely associated with the telecommunications industry perhaps 40, 50 years ago. This may have started all the way back when Truman was in office.
Yeah, but they didn't have the technology to monitor
the number of calls.
That they, you know, now you have every call that's pretty much being recorded.
And so,
the technology and you know, perhaps certain individuals 40 years ago might have been had their phones tapped, but not everyone.
It's still that same way, though. I mean, the one thing about it is, with all the technology, yes, they have all this massive technology, but the number of phone calls today must be multiples of what it was 50 years ago. The number of phone calls, the number of emails, whatever, what they have to chase is an extraordinary haystack of information.
But I think technology can handle it, though.
Still can't listen to all the calls. They can
only
listen to them in retrospect. If something happens, they say, uh-oh, what about this guy Joe Smith? We've recorded his calls, but we haven't really listened to him. Now we'll go back, because he was implicated in some sort of an offense or whatever, now we'll go back and look at his calls and see what we can find. They're kind of archiving the calls in case something turns up later, but they can't monitor all of them. Even with their computer technology, they listen for keywords. You know, for example, if I say detonator, well, zoop, 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 the warning lights and the bells and whatever go off in the NSA, and they start following that conversation, or they make a special note of, I won't say they follow it, but they at least make sure it's archived and closely inspected sooner or later. There's keywords that they look for, and they can pick up with sound recognition equipment, voice recognition equipment.
Well, it makes you wonder, though, how these agencies can do that type of a job so well, but yet there's other sectors that are just so incompetent. So are we just led to believe that these various spying agencies are competent, or is it all of these huge, large – I mean, once you get so large, it's pretty – it's difficult. To be competent, to
The volume is just too great for anyone to digest. The volume of calls, they have selective. I'm sure they watch a relative handful of people.
Hey, my gosh, they can't even do Obamacare right.
No, I know. Obamacare, we'll get into that in just a moment. Here's, you know, White House, here's one from Yahoo News. White House denies NSA spies on allies for economic warfare. The White House denied on Monday that the National Security Agency's widespread overseas spying is intended to give the U.S. an edge over allies who might also be economic competitors. All right, that's the White House. White House Press Secretary Jay Carney, he's asked, are we spying? Are we using the spy apparatus to gain economic advantage over the Europeans? And he responds, he says, we do not use our intelligence capabilities for that purpose. We use it for security purposes. All right, that's all. But Dick Cheney was on the news at roughly the same time. He was on a TV, CNN's The Lead. And he's saying that, he says, we do collect a lot of intelligence. Without speaking about any particular target or ground targets, that intelligence capability is enormously important to the United States, to our conduct in foreign policy, to defense matters, economic matters, and I'm a strong supporter of it. That's Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney, former Vice President of the United States, he says, yeah, we're spying for economic matters. Well, one way or another, you can bet that the information that our government acquires on economic matters is shared with at least major American and multinational corporations. One way or another, and they, of course, are the same people that are giving fat political campaign contributions, also known as bribes, to our congressmen, senators, and perhaps even presidents. So we have a kind of, I can't remember the word they use in biology when one species depends on another for its survival. But we have this close association between government and business that is, it's being manifest by the spying and collecting information. I think part of the reason, major reason they collect information on us is not simply to spy on us and see how many guns we have and whether or not we were making any bombs or whatever. I think it's to find out what we're buying. It's to provide more accurate economic information as to whether are we going to buy the new Dodge or are we going to buy the new Ford. Which one are more? It's a kind of consumer survey. Now, I won't say that's the predominant reason, but I would say it's a major reason. And then they're selling the economic information taken to private corporations here in the United States who use that to devise their own, you know, strategies for selling their products here in the country. It's, you know, it's just interesting that Jay Carney, spokesman for the White House, he says, we absolutely do not collect data for economic purposes. And right about the same time, Dick Cheney is saying, oh, yes, we do. Yeah. Well, who do you suppose is telling the truth? It would be almost incomprehensible to suppose that our government was collecting data by spying, that some of the data was economic, and yet the government did not take that information and use it to the advantage of some special interests or even the government itself. Of course, they're following what we're doing with our money. It'd be crazy if they weren't. What's next, Melody?
A crazy world in which we live.
Yep.
Yeah, I got a question coming. I got one coming in from Steve. He says, Al, you were saying how we've been programmed to accept paper money. What about the coins printed by the U.S. Mint?
I have more respect for the coins than I do for the paper money. Now, you were talking about the conventional nickels, dimes, pennies, and so on. There's at least some tangible reality to those coins. And in a worst-case scenario, they're going to have value when the paper may not. One of the things that was true, not exactly true anymore, it's still true but not to the same extent, is that in the event of some sort of a major collapse, if we still had pay phones, We don't. They've been pretty much replaced by the cell phones. But if we had pay phones and they're running on quarters, dimes, and nickels, they're still going to have to run on quarters, dimes, and nickels. All of the machines that we see in the hallways that'll disperse Coca-Colas or sandwiches or whatever, if they are running on change, well, they have to continue to do so even in the event of an economic collapse. And the point then is that if it costs 25 cents to make a phone call, that was the price, a quarter would still have to pay for a phone call in the aftermath of some sort of an economic collapse. Now, that's if we had pay phones. To the extent we have vending machines that still take change, they're going to have to work on the same amount of change. They can't just say, instead of a 25-cent piece, we're going to now have to have, because of a change in prices and the value of the dollar's change, we're now going to need 10 quarters in order to make a phone call. They can't do that because the machine's not designed to hold that many quarters from everyone who is likely to make a phone call. We'll fill up the little container where they store the coins down in the bottom in just a matter of a couple of phone calls, and then the machine doesn't work. So the vending machines support a need for, you know, ordinary coins at pretty much the same rates we have now. It may be that a quarter with the new money, your new paper dollar, instead of being worth a dollar, they may say, no, it's a $50 bill now. Or, you know, they attach a new number to the paper, but that quarter still has to buy a phone call. So there is some reason to believe that hanging on to all the loose change that you come home with, put that in the change jar. You might be able to use it for bartering. It might have some value in the event of a serious problem where your paper may not.
Well, I think it's always good to have some cash. I don't look to the coinage as, you know, some sort of investment, and you have to think about it keeping up with inflation. So the idea is to save it, accumulate it, and turn it into silver. It's that simple. It's a great way to save.
Silver and gold. You're talking about junk silver, or what are you talking about?
Well, I'm just talking about any type of silver. You know, you're talking about the quarters and the nickels and dimes. You throw it in a jar, you accumulate it, and, you know, then you end up...
Yeah, the junk silver is certainly better. It's a much... Mm-hmm. Just the ordinary coins that we see every day on the street, they're better than paper. They have some tangible value. But silver coins, junk silver, and or silver dollars, and or gold coins are much better than the coins that the government is currently issuing.
And we also
know there's a hierarchy here. There's not one that's abs. You know, there's a series, and each, you know, take a step up, do a little better, take another step, do a little better.
And you know, there's always been the conversations where they would take those coins out of the market because it actually costs more to mint the coins than what the face value is. So, you know, they could do that too for the penny and the nickel, but you'll never get more than a nickel for it. You know, I mean, you
might get more than a nickel.
Very unlikely.
This is where it gets confusing, though.
No, that's not confusing at all.
It is confusing. When you say, you mean you won't get more than a 20th of a paper dollar for a nickel?
No, I'm talking about the nickel itself. If the nickel costs 7 cents to mint, or even the nickel that makes up the commodities in that coin could actually sell, like same way with copper, we saw such a big rise in copper prices, but you're not going to get more than the face value of that coin, even though the
metal itself might be higher. No, but you can get more if you melt it down.
You're not going to get more because where are you
going to
sell it?
You're going to get the price of the nickel. If there's a dime's worth of nickel in a nickel.
But by the time you get it out of there and you melt it down and so forth, all you're going to get is the face value.
You'll get. Well, no, that might be all you're going to get, Melody, but I would get more.
Most people are not going, they have to sell it. They would sell it to a refiner.
You're saying that's the way the market is down at the bottom. I get you. It'll be hard to find people who are going to pay you.
You're not going to get more than
you're not going to get that from the local grocery store, the guy down the street. But there will be people who will collect nickels. If there's a dime worth of the metal nickel, in the coin called a nickel, all right, then they'll collect those quarters. They'll buy the nickels for a nickel apiece, and they will melt them down and sell them for 10 cents apiece. But the whole thing becomes confusing. It's like talking about the nickel in the nickel, you know. You get a nickel, it means metal in one instance, and the other instance it means a coin. It's very confusing, and it's hard to get hold of these ideas sometimes just because there's a certain amount of ambiguity in the words, in the meanings of the words. What else do we have? Melody, you there?
Yes, we have another question in from Ivan. He says, according to the Turkish Daily News, Turkish jets have intercepted a Russian military plane over the Black Sea. The general staff said on October 28th, the incident came only 4 days after another Russian plane was intercepted by the Turkish military over the Black Sea. Is this some sort of signal from Russia to keep hands off Syria?
Well, who knows? We'll talk about a little bit in a moment when we return. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. Be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click satellite system.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom, and for this segment of the program, we will be without Melody's new dog, Ruby, who has been terrorizing Melody in the first part of the program. So now it's just me and Melody, and the dog isn't going to be chewing on Melody's ankles or any of the rest of this sort of thing, and just the two of us. What's next, Melody?
Well, you were going to finish talking about the Russian military plane.
Who knows what it signifies. It may just mean they don't want people taking photographs, aerial photographs of the bathers on the Black Sea. You know, they may have a nude bathing beach someplace on the Black Sea, and maybe President Putin is down there, and they don't want any aircraft flying overhead to take snapshots. Who knows what it signifies, but certainly if Turkey and Russia are beginning to poke around at each other's airplanes, it's another one of those little instances where you can sit back and say, you know, this is potentially trouble. Cooler heads will probably prevail. This probably won't turn into anything extraordinary. But on the other hand, this is the kind of thing, it's like the assassination of the Archduke and Sarajevo that triggered, what, World War I? Little things all of a sudden snowball. And you can see a lot of, there's a lot of little snowballs in our world right now. And there we are living in a time and in a place in history where an avalanche is not impossible. So, interesting times. Whatever gets us, it won't be boredom. I've been saying it for years, but interesting times.
This question came in on Friday. We didn't have an opportunity to get it, but it was about Iran. Excuse me, could produce enough weapons-grade uranium to build a nuclear bomb in as little as a month. And that's according to a new estimate by a top nuclear expert, David Albright. He's a former IAEA inspector and head of the Institute for Science and International Security. Furthermore, Israel indicated that by an attack, they can postpone the nuclear bomb by 5 years.
And so what's his question?
Questions is just your comments. Any comments on that?
I don't know. What are you going to do to stop it? On one level, what are you going to do to stop it? And what is, you know, I'm not convinced Iran hasn't invaded another nation in hundreds of years. You can't say that for most of the rest of the nations that have nuclear weapons. We're invading countries all the time. Iran hasn't invaded anyone or started a war in centuries. It's hard to know. It's not an improvement. It does not inspire confidence in the ability of our species to continue to survive. All right, this is another one of those. It's another one of these little pebbles that just might start snowball the effect and trigger an avalanche. But in our infinite wisdom, while we are complaining that, oh my gosh, Iran might have atomic bombs, uranium, for God's sake, compared to plutonium, you can almost make teddy bears out of uranium and sell them to people. Plutonium is the most lethal substance on the face of the earth, and it cannot be found to any significant degree in the surface of the earth. It's not there. It's like the good Lord said, this is too dangerous for those numbskulls to handle. He didn't put any plutonium in the surface of the earth, but guess who did? The geniuses here in the United States and Europe and probably Israel and General Electric and God knows in Japan and some in China that are making these nuclear reactors to generate free energy or cheap energy. Except in the process, they make plutonium. And now we have 1,300 tons of plutonium on the face of the earth, where 50 years ago we had virtually nothing. None. And according to some reports, a single baseball size lump of plutonium divided equally among all the people on the earth is enough to kill us all. And we, in our infinite wisdom, have generated 1,300 tons of this stuff. I mean, it's insanity. It's madness. And we're saying, Iran might have an atomic bomb. Oh, big damn deal. Right? These nuts with their atomic reactors, they're going to get the planet killed if we're not extraordinarily careful and blessed. And it's almost impossible to look at this problem and imagine that there will ever be a happy solution. Because that plutonium doesn't just disappear. Even if you stop using it, you take it out of the nuclear power plants, what do you do with it? You got to bury it someplace. And you've got to bury it someplace where it will stay stable for certainly thousands of years. Where is that place? Where is that place where we can be absolutely certain that if we store this plutonium, We've moved all 1,300 tons of it. Let's bury it underground someplace. Where is the place that it will not be affected by an earthquake? Where is the place that the plutonium will not start bumping up against each other and cause a massive nuclear detonation? Might be underground, a couple thousand feet, but so what? You know, this is a madness. This is this business with these atomic power plants. This is going to get us all killed before it's done. And maybe not you and me, we hope not, but I don't see how the species will not see a catastrophic event, much like we've seen in Fukushima. Huh? How bad is Fukushima? No one really, I don't know. Who knows? Someplace, there are some people say it's exaggerated, it's not as bad as some people think. There's other people, I've heard reports that the fishing fleet that normally finds sardines in the Pacific has gone back to port without finding any fish. I don't know if that's a true story or not. I'm just telling you it's a story that's on the internet. I don't know if it's true. I don't know if it's a hoax. I've heard reports that I have can absolutely not verify that there's little or no wildlife along the coast of California right now, at least in places where it used to be teeming with wildlife. It's now just water and beach. Now, is this caused by Fukushima? No one knows. Heard reports that there's polar bears that are missing patches of fur, and there's whales that have been spotted with tumors on their heads. We are fooling with things that are insane. And yet we're going to get all excited if Iran develops an atomic bomb. I'm going to tell you something. It's a problem. I'm not diminishing the significance of Iran developing an atomic bomb. I don't deny that. But I guarantee that on a scale of 1 to 10, that is not number 1 on the list. There are much more important things to be dealt with, and some of them we're not even talking about. Huh? So what's going to happen? I don't know. Again, interesting times. Does anyone have a solution? The only solution I know is, you know, hang on tight. It's like riding a roller coaster, and maybe without a seatbelt. You know, it's kind of an exciting ride. You better hang on tight, folks, because...
Well, I can actually see some things, you know, if you talk about the West Coast and the animals and so forth. I mean, when you look at how the shipping ports and all the ships and everything that cruise the coastline, I would think that would have more of a impact on animals close to the coastline or on the coastline than possibly, you know, Fukushima. But
I know most people would probably agree with you.
Yeah.
But there's people who disagree with you, and I don't know who's right. But I know that there's at least a controversy. And maybe there's some evidence to suggest that the problems from, you know, who's telling the truth? I don't know. I wish I could talk to someone. And I could make an effort. I haven't. To speak to someone who lives on the West Coast. And just tell me what's happening to the water out there. And I could make more of an effort to find out if the story about no sardines is real or false.
Well, I mean, there's been reports way before Fukushima about life of the sea animals and so forth being affected by, you know, the waste and
harvesting,
the trash. And,
harvesting people and harvesting fish until there may not be any more. I understand that.
But yet there's a lot of water out there. So, you know, it depends if you're listening to, what's that group? It's the Sierra group. You know, if you listen to them, you know, it's all over. You can't even find one fish in the ocean. But so, again,
I understand.
It's a lot of propaganda.
Trying to sort the hype from the chaff.
A lot of personal agendas.
But in this particular instance, they are apparently releasing plutonium ions or whatever into the water. And this plutonium, again, is the most toxic substance known to man. A baseball, amount the size of a baseball, could kill every man, woman, and child on the planet. Now, that being the case, how much plutonium do you have to release into the Pacific and get it stirred up by the natural currents before all of a sudden you have a problem that is not going to be resolved perhaps for a century or more. Who knows how long this?
And we also know that we have governments that are testing weapons underwater that have resulted in various earthquakes and, you know, the one tsunami. There was discussions that that was probably or could have been the situation as these countries detonate nuclear bombs in the depth of the oceans for testing weapons. So, yeah, it's crazy, crazy. You know,
the world has just gone to a place where there is a kind of madness out there, and it is sufficient to destroy a big chunk of civilization, in part because civilization grows increasingly fragile. The more civilized we become, the more vulnerable we become. The more dependent we become on something like the internet or on flat-screen TVs or computers or whatever. It creates great power. It creates, for individuals, we can do things today with computers. Melody and I are hosting a radio program right now, and it couldn't have been possible 20 years ago. Today, it's no big deal. We're doing it by means of computers and the internet. It's nothing. It doesn't even cost anything to speak of other than our time. It's inexpensive, and it empowers us, gives us an opportunity to stand up and speak and communicate ideas across the globe. We're not just talking here in Texas or talking in Pennsylvania or talking just to the United States. We have people that are listening in Canada and sometimes the Philippines and Australia and so on, Asia, Europe. And it wouldn't even have been possible 20 years ago. But as we become more efficient, we also become more vulnerable. One little bomb going off up in the atmosphere sets off an EMP strike that can cripple most of the computers in the country. Now what? What happens then? One itsy-bitsy nuclear weapon detonated, who knows, 20,000, 50,000 feet up in the air. I don't know how high it has to be. That's all it takes. And all of a sudden we're back to writing. We're back to actually where kids actually have to calculate using.
Hallelujah.
Right? They can't use, they may not be able to use a calculator. They're going to say, how many is 4 plus 1? Does anyone know how much is 4 plus 1? I don't have a calculator anymore.
I'll be the only one in the United States. I will be thankful.
They will think of us old folks and say, oh my gosh, they can add and subtract. What does that mean? They will regard us as gods. We will be, I don't know, prophets. Let's go talk to Al. He can add 5 and 6, and he knows what the number is. How extraordinary. How are we going to get out of this, folks? You know, it's one of those things you start to look at it, and you really do. It inspires your faith. Because the only way we're likely to get out of this, really get out of this, you're going to have to do it with a good Lord or it ain't going to be done. We're out of time, Melody. I want to thank all you folks for listening. We will be back tomorrow. I'm Alfred Attisk here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. Until tomorrow, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. There never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.